Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah and chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. And study Jeremiah at this point in the days of Jehoiakim, king, in his fourth year, and in the process, the Nebuchadnezzar is there, coming, and going to go. 605 B.C. is when he went into Jerusalem after Carchemish up in the north, defeating Pharaoh Necho. Now, so here we are in chapter 25, and to pick up the mood so that the God is trying to help them understand that history is going to be made, and history has been recorded in yesterday. That is, whatever happened yesterday leads into tomorrow. So today is but yesterday over again, fulfilling itself. And when we go to tomorrow is going to fulfill itself in the light of today. Now, so here's the hole. They dug a hole, and tomorrow they're going to, not tomorrow, but Friday, fill it with a tank. Now, hopefully. Now, so here, to get the little flavor of it, to pick it up, it's actually a very awesome section. In fact, you won't find a lot written on it because it's so awesome. You wouldn't. You have to sit and count to 10 and read it. It's that bad. Difficult. Awesome. Wow. Now, but chapter 25. And if I can, picking up just a little bit of the movement so you can see it as we continue. In verse 4, and the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. Then they said, Turn ye again, now every man, from his evil way, and from the evil, that's what the prophets was looking for. They were looking for them to repent and change. They said, turn ye again, now every one, from his evil way, from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after the other gods to serve them, to worship them, and provoke me, to cause me to be angered, excited. You don't want to get me all excited against you. Provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt if you just don't make it worse. And you'll be better off. Verse 7. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. So they aren't interested in what God was saying at all. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 8, Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, I will send and take all the families of the north, etc. That includes Babylon as the leader, and he's going to take all of that area of people that are under his domain and bring them down and attack. Now, that's the background. They aren't going to listen. They don't want to listen, and they aren't going to learn. And you know the history thing. Of all of history, we learn nothing from history. We repeat history. Now, and history, when it's made, is awesome. Think of the war, First World War, Second World War, etc. History is made, and do we learn from it? And we think of Pearl Harbor and other things. And did we learn? No, we probably didn't pick up the little pieces that we should remember. And someone doesn't care about them anyway, doesn't even know about them. Now, so here in chapter 25, picking up now, sliding down to verse 13. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. So, all the nations. Now, that's what you're going to pick up. You're going to go, and God, here we are looking, and humans ought to pay attention to what happens to Israel. Why? Because God has given Israel as a thermometer, barometer, for the world to look at. And you want God as the creator, the redeemer, the only God and the only Savior. And all the world has got its religion and its politics, its tower and city, Genesis 11. All of it's going on. But if you want to, and you can follow whatever pantheism, whatever you want to do, Buddhism, do whatever. But when you're done, you have no more help about history and where it's going. Because they are religious systems of our own making, of our own heart. And remember, I shared to remind us and myself that all religious system and philosophy is only as good as you want it to be. Because you can eliminate any statue, any written theory you want. Can you not? You can erase the whole thing. It's only as good in your mind. That's where it exists. It doesn't exist out here. Well, the idol does, and the philosophy does, but if you don't want it, and they don't, no one else wants it, it's all gone. But reality, God, flowers, bugs, birds, bees, they're reality. And they aren't make-believe, and we aren't fantasizing. They're just real. God is real. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so we need to understand God is real. And when Israel is the key, because whatever God is trying to say to the nations, he's saying it at this point through Israel. If you want to know something about God, back through history, you're going to have to go to Israel. And Israel is where you're going to get information about God and God's word. You aren't going to find God's word in the Philistines. You aren't going to find God's word in the Jebusites. You aren't going to find it. There's only one book, only one Bible in all of the world. There's nothing like it anywhere, fortunately. There's no competition to it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, so Israel is the key. God, you want to know about God and what's God doing and going to do, it's about, you got to look at Israel. So now, so here's history, and did people pay attention to Israel? Now, Israel was a wonderful, wonderful nation to be a testimony, Deuteronomy 4, 6 through 8, to be a testimony to all of the nations of the world. That's what its purpose was. Now, and so Israel was warned not to become like the other nations, because then there would be no example. There would be nothing out there in the world to compare. Everyone would be the same. If we all had candles and they all were unlit, then, and your candle went out unlit, what's the difference between anyone else? All the candles are what? They're unlit. But when your candle is lit, your candle stands out distinctly. When the three friends of Daniel stood up in the plain of Dura in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, everyone is down, they're up, they stand out. Israel stands out. But as Israel becomes tied up in idolatry, it doesn't stand out. It gets lost among, and the world knows that. And that's why the world's able to do what it does. Because Israel isn't being a testimony back then and in the future and even now. So now, having said that little bit, here's all of the nations, and all of the nations are going to be judged. Now, keep in mind, if you would, his Israel. Now, God, what are you going to do to Israel? Israel is my people. They are holy. They are most holy. They don't belong to anyone else. They're my vehicle, my people, to demonstrate my wonderful person to all of the world. Now, so when Israel gets clobbered by God, and God clobbers his own temple, his own city, Jerusalem, he clobbers it. And God does it in great anger. So because of what, they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't change, they wouldn't do anything. So God said, listen, do you understand, world, what I'm going to do to Israel? And you're all thinking you're all right. If I do this to my own people, you had better beware of what I'm going to do to you. And that's the soberness of this whole chapter. You have no idea what I'm going to do to the world for their unbelief. Now, to pick up the flavor a little bit, over if you would, please. Over to Isaiah chapter 13. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit. I did, to give you a little clue where it's going to go. And it's awesome. Very sobering. We don't want to learn a lot. The First World War, we thought we were ended, and we ended up with the Second World War. What did we learn from the First World War? Not too much. What did we learn from the Second World War? Even less. And so we're headed, we just don't learn history. We are all humans sitting here, and we don't want to pay attention to history. All of you had a great-grandfather, did you not? A great-grandfather and mother and a regular whatever. And they're all gone, aren't they? They're all dead. Every single person that's related to your family tree is dead. We don't want to pay attention to that practically, understandably. We're going to die, are we not? That's history. That's a history lesson. And we pay attention. Then my life is short-lived. I want to live it carefully because I have no idea how long the time is. So now, having said that, here's God. God, what have you done? You're going to do an awesome thing with Israel, as you'll see a little bit. Chapter 13, what about the nations? And all the time, God, what are you going to do? You're going to say, remember the word burden means to go and lift up and carry. Lift up, God puts the word in their heart, the prophets, and they carry it and send it out like a camel carrying the load. And they send it out. They send out the word. Rising up early, and remember we shared that particular term. It means the camel gets up early in the morning with the load to start the day's journey, etc. So here we are looking, and in the word burden, the burden. God, you send out, you give the prophets a message to carry to the world, and they are to go and deliver that message. And they rise up early, as we shared, and God does. God says it bright and early, so he's ready to give the message. Verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. You see, now God, that's a burden to Babylon, a burden of Babylon. And sliding over, if I can, over to verse 15, chapter 15. And chapter 15, and you'll pick up the burden, the delivery to the what nation? Moab, chapter 17. The burden of Damascus. Behold, where's God? You're giving him all messages if they would hear it. Chapter 19. And in chapter 19, picking up, please, in verse 1, if I can get there, the burden of Egypt. doing it, chapter 22 and chapter 22. And in verse 1, 22, and in verse 1, the burden of the valley of vision, etc. And verse chapter 23, all of these deliveries are all made, the chapter 23, picking up in verse 1, the burden of Tyre, etc. So as you turn, God, you're giving a message. Israel, remember Isaiah to Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, they go into captivity. Jeremiah, Isaiah is looking to Babylon, 100 years down the road, coming in. And so here they are going down, if you would. And in the process, he's giving a message. Israel, 10 tribes, Assyrian captivity. Nations, pay attention. What I'm doing to Israel, what I'm doing there. Don't get too, remember the different countries are going to mock. They're so glad Israel got clobbered. But God said, don't. Because if I do this to my people, you can imagine what I'm going to do to you. Think of 1 Peter 4:17. If judgment begins at the what? At the house of God. Can you imagine what it's going to be to the unsaved? Now, so we just want to learn. We want to pay attention to what's going on. So now, in the process, over if I can, in chapter 24. And as you read, God, you're going to tell us over and over again to the people, if they would listen. And here's Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. He maketh it waste. He turneth it upside down. He scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. So we aren't talking about Israel anymore. We're talking about the whole world. Now, sliding down to verse, put in the light of context time, verse 4. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people, proud people of the earth, do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Not because of the global warming, not because of pollution. Not that kind. No, it isn't. It'll never be that. As much as it can be existent, it's never going to be the problem. The world's problem is the world's problem. Not the material world, the world system of people that won't honor God. Therefore, verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws and changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now God, why? What's the problem? Remember after the Genesis flood, Genesis 8, he said, I will not flood, 8 and 9, I will not flood the earth again. I understand the heart of man is evil continually, but I won't flood it. But I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to tell you, that's the rainbow up in the sky. I'm going to make that to all of the inhabitants of the world, so that when they see the rainbow, and they will, all over different ways, and when they see the rainbow, they'll remember what I said. I'm not going to flood the world, but I want you to know I'm not disappearing. And if you, I'm not going to do this to you again, not flood. But if you don't honor me and don't recognize who I am, then you are going to be in trouble. Why is the world in trouble? They have broken the covenant. They have defied and defiled God's person and word. That is, he told them to change, and in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 9, but they didn't. What did they do? They built the Tower of Babel. They did everything they shouldn't do. And what have we been doing? We've been doing it a long time. A long time. And here's Israel, God raised up to be a light. And Israel became like them. And so here's the Gentiles. What's stopping them? If the lights don't go out, darkness has a field day. If you get rid of all the policemen and all the military, there's a field day for the bad guys. A field day for them. Wow. So God, here we are. And looking. So Isaiah, God, the problem. The problem is that they have defiled and in unbelief and turned. That's why the tribulation and the all Armageddon and all of that. Because that's what they're going to do. Shake their fist at God. And God said, you shouldn't have done that. And God's going to judge that. Now, hanging on the way they have the thought and that, sliding over, if I can, over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And you'll see, picking up, so you get the movement. Chapter 28, may I pick up, please, the thought, in verse 21, sliding right down in the light of the movement. And in 21, for the Lord, this is 28:21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work. Now, what happened in Perazim on the same chapter in Chronicles? David went and beat the Philistines, and then he went and beat the Philistines again in Gibeon. And God gave the wonderful victory over the Philistines once and then twice. God is going to work. That's what God reminds them. God does his work. Therefore, verse 21, that he may do his work, and the end of verse 21, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Very strange, strange. To turn away from, to keep a distance from something foreign, foreign business. It's away from you, it's foreign to you. It doesn't belong to your house. It doesn't belong to your job. It doesn't belong to your body. It's foreign. That's the word. Now, God, what are you going to do? Verse 22. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers. Don't mock. Don't say, nah, ha, ha. No, sir, don't do that. Now, therefore, be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God, a host of hosts, a consumption. I have heard from the Lord of hosts, a consumption, to bring something to a complete end, to finish it. I have heard a consumption. Even determined, and the word determined to passive, to strictly determined, to separate, to go, and cut, to separate into pieces. In other words, to exterminate something, to cut it into pieces. Wow. Decreed. This I've heard. God is going to finish that which has been determined to be decreed. Disappear into pieces, foreign, upon the whole earth. Why is it foreign? Because God, here is God, and remember, you can read elsewhere in all those different places, where God says, listen, do you understand? And the world says it. What kind of God is there that Israel would judge his people? Not Israel would judge the Philistines, or the Jebusites, or the Hivites. But why would God judge his own people? Why would God judge his own temple? Why would God do that? That's strange, foreign. It isn't normal for the God of the country, whichever God there would be, to do it to himself. Now, you get that part. You'll have the mood the movement, which is what? God said, listen, I did this to my own people. So if you're sitting there content and trying to be comfy, don't be. Because when I turn around, I'm going to bring a consumption, a finishing, a breaking in pieces, the whole world. I'm going to create ultimately a new heaven and a new earth, ultimately. But in the process of it all has to work itself out. Now, having said that little bit, the consumption, God and the Great Tribulation will make all of this happen in a most awesome, awesome way. And the world is guilty. There's no question. They were guilty in the days of Noah. They were guilty in the days of the Tower of Babel. They're guilty. There's no question. They just don't want to pay attention to God. God doesn't want religion. He wants rightness. And they aren't doing that. They aren't looking for that. Now, having said that, so here's Israel. If it's healthy, it's in the middle of the nations, a little light in the world for the nations to look at. But when Israel goes in unbelief, it becomes dark. And then you have the nations look at each other, and they look at Israel, and there's no difference. Now, that does what? Warning. Did you pay attention? What happens when Israel, and under the Babylonian captivity, as a nation, stops as a nation, as the nation it should be? What happened? That's called the times of the Gentiles. And God allows the times of the Gentiles to come to pass. What do the Gentiles want? Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. Babel, Babylon, the Antichrist. The Christ wants the Antichrist wants what he wants, to be God, to take the place of God, etc., in the minds of people. And he wants to do that. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we go down Israel. Israel was there unto Rehoboam for 344 years, and then under Rehoboam and Jeroboam, 208 years, etc. And each of those northern tribe, 10 tribes, and the southern 2 tribes, they all went, and they went into captivity, as we just said. Now, having said that little bit, and the times of the Gentiles takes place. And the times of the Gentiles has to take place until he is finished. And remember Daniel, Daniel, the image in Daniel chapter 2, the image and the images of a man, and you start with the head, and it's a whole man. You start with the head, Babylon, and Media Persia, and Greece, and Rome, etc. And you slide down, and God is going to what? At the end, when you come to the end of the 10 toes, there's no more man left. After you come to the end of the 10 toes, there's no more way to go. And that's when God comes in the tribulation, the 10 United European Community and all of that. That's when God comes. And he judges in the tribulation, the Antichrist, the system, the world system. And what does he do? Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Matthew 24, he does what? He goes and judges the hand, the feet, the toes, the feet, the legs of iron, the breast, the head. And how does he do the head? Revelation chapter 17 and 18, you have the religious and political Babylon. God started with the toes and went all the way up, and in the end of the revelation, he goes against the head, Babylon, that didn't want to go away. It didn't want to disappear. Remember the European community, what is their image? The European community has what? The Tower of Babel. That's what they have, the Tower of Babel, in one of their images. Wow. Want to complete the tower. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Numbers. If you just have that little bit to start with, and God is going to do what he does, and the nations, are they paying attention? No. They should understand why Israel's been judged and going to be judged, And in tribulation, Israel is going to be judged. And in judging them, he's going to judge all the nations. So now, God, here we are looking. And isn't it, it's a awesome outlook. It's real. All you got to do is be a historian. All you got to do is pay attention to history. It's real. If God tells it how it's going to happen. He tells you what's going to happen. And when you know what's going to happen, you know it is. But you just don't want to think about it because it's not a very pleasant thought. But God it is, and it has to be. Now, God, what about us? I want to know, having looked at that, God, Israel, what about Israel? What is it missing? Jeremiah doesn't have a problem. Daniel doesn't have a problem. Over to Daniel chapter 9, I think. Daniel chapter 9, and picking up, if I can, in verse 16. O, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee. Daniel's looking to understand the great prophecy of the end of the days. I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, verse 17, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Now, Daniel's pleading, I know what's going to happen, God. You're going to judge your own temple, your own people, your own city. You're going to do it. God, be merciful. Now, Numbers chapter 6. So what are we going to do? Here we are. And in Numbers chapter 6, may I pick up, please, in thought. Oh, remember now, this is all about the Nazarites. Not Nazarenes, they're Nazarites. Those are people that have been committed to God. That's their whole, the reason they get out of bed and go to bed is for God. They're separated, holy people. They're Nazarites now. Now, in the light of that, being a Nazarite, and they're the people that make it. So it's where, using it in 1 Corinthians 7, just think of having an umbrella, if you would, in a family, and the believing believer in the family is able to what? The believing believer in the family, if the believing believer is believing, There's a covering to the unsaved in the family. Doesn't mean it saves them. It gives them a cover that they don't have any other way, no other place. That's why the umbrella. They have the umbrella. The umbrella covers you, a big umbrella, and it covers the people that are under it, the home. So it's holy. The Nazarites are holy, and they make it for Israel to be blessed. The priesthood to be blessed. The priesthood to be a blessing. The Nazarites, they're holy. That they give God access to the people because God has a way to get to the people through a holy vehicle, a holy man, a holy woman, a holy boy, girl. Now, here's Numbers chapter 6. Picking up, listen now, verse 22, you know it. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now that's what Israel is not doing in the days of Jeremiah. But that was the commission. Israel was to bless. Think of Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3. Abraham was to be a blessing to Israel and the nations, to the faith of Abraham. Believe like Abraham did. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, so here's the wonderful blessing, and I'm looking at in particular that in verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Now, that's an awesome thing. We've said it over and over again over the years, reminding you. What you want to look for is the smile of God. You don't want the frown of God. You certainly don't want the anger of God. You want the smile of God, I would think. We've shared it with all different ways. You know, the doctor looks down at you, and you're going to have surgery, and you're going to have it. And if the doctor's crying and shivering and shaking, that isn't too encouraging. But if the doctor's there, and he said, how are you doing? I said, yeah, I don't know. He said, be of good cheer. I know just what I'm doing. I've done this operation 3 times, and I'm able to go. And I'm going to go do it. And he's smiling. And that's what you want. You want comfort. You want assurance. In the midst of a difficult thing. God, what do I want? I want you to smile. I want you to smile. Over, if you would, please. Over to Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, as you know, God, what are we going to do? We can't fix anything, no, but we can at least be with it. Our Lord, saying it ahead, our Lord did what? In John 8 and 28 and 29, he pleased God continually, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He pleased the Father. That's what he did. He was a pleasure in his perfect humanity to God the Father, a pleasure to God. The whole world, Israel, is unbelieving as a nation. The Gentiles, Romans, Caesar, Pontius Pilate, are going to crucify him. It's not a good day. It's very dark. But you know what? He pleased God. And what's the main thing? We shared it on Sunday a bit. He endured the cross, despising the shame, treating the shame as a step to go up. And the world makes fun and does whatever, but God, you're doing what you're doing in his wonderful slavery to the will of God. In his perfect humanity, the word bondslave comes into existence in a high, holy, heavenly way. Wow. Now, and he does that. So God, that's what you're looking for. So we here we are, we're in a body that's dying, and it has all kinds of things, whatever, and we're in a system that isn't happy with God and is going the wrong way without even any question and without even any thought. People aren't, there's a whole realm of people that aren't even thinking things through. They're just charging down the road and saying things that just aren't even correct. It doesn't even make sense, but that's what they're doing. So as they go down. So God, it isn't a very pleasant outlook to hear the news. If you're going to be objective and pay attention to what's happening, the global warming and everything, while they're all upset, tense, tight, nuclear bombs and powers and crisis and conflict over there in the Mideast and the East and the South America. Wow. Where do you want to go? Wow. Wow. So now, here's Psalm 32. David, help us. Verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies. They're all, everything's there. From them that persecute me. And verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I want your smile. That's what I want. I don't know how, I'm not going to make anything work. I can't make it come out. But you can. And God, I want you to do it to your pleasure. Do outwork everything to your pleasure, no matter how awful it may seem to us humans. Do it as it comes out right. So therefore, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Sliding down to verse 19. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them, trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them, verse 20, in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of men thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I have said in my haste, God, this is what David said, listen, it was stupid. We do the same thing. I have said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. God, things are happening in my life, and where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where I'm all alone out here trying to work everything out. Wow. I said that in my haste, that I am cut off from before thine eyes. And nevertheless, God, it wasn't true. Thou heardest my voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. God, you're going to take care of things. That's right, I'm going to work them out. You have to be patient. Long before being angry, I could let a man live 100 years. An evil man, I could let a boy live 10 years. And I'm gracious. And I let a bad guy live 100 years. Don't get caught up in my timing. Everything has the right time and the right place. So before you say anything, back off. God, my times are in thy hand, and I'm hidden in your presence. I was stupid, and I said, in my haste, in my anxiety, in my gut all upset about everything, and I said things that I shouldn't have said, God. I did things I shouldn't have done. God, thank you for your mercy and grace and patience. And therefore, verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That's what to do. They aren't going to answer anything. You're not going to stop it. It's history. God gave forewarning, something awful, awesome. But no one's paying attention. Generally speaking, no one's paying attention. But it will be. And they think Israel, if they clobber Israel some more, if we can drive Israel like the Islam, drive Israel into the depths of the sea, that would make things good. Oh no. If God let that happen, which he isn't going to, if God let that happen, woe be to the people that sent him into the sea. God help them. Wow.